Welcome everyone to the 12th of December meeting 2023. Safety announcements, evacuation details and information on the code on the wall and entry to the chambers. In an emergency alarm of sound, order for the safety of evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in a calm and orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. So I now declare the meeting open at 3:04 p.m. Before we head into the main items on the agenda, I'd like to acknowledge that this is Dino De Polio's last meeting with the Meander Valley Council. On behalf of myself, councillors and staff, Dino, thank you for your time and effort at the Meander Valley. You will be sorely missed, and good luck with your future. Thanks, Dino. And also, we've got Craig Davies' first day as director. So thank you, Craig, for turning up as well. Okay. He had to turn up because he's paid to turn up. Yeah. Attendance and apologies. We've got apologies from Councillor Lockie Dornoff, which is noted. The attendance of everyone else is here. I've put a leave of absence application in, which was approved at the last council meeting. So I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palatoa and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of land on which we gather today, and pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today as well. So, here we go. Confirmation of the minutes. Would somebody like to move? Somebody like to second the minutes of the last meeting to be accepted, please? Councillor House, thank you. A seconder. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Any discussion on the minutes, councillors? Councillor Temple. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's been reported to me that the question asked by Helen Hutchinson at the last meeting was incorrectly recorded. So I don't know how we deal with that, but I just pass that on.
Any comments, General Manager? Loud. Yeah,
you're right. So I have to give Helen a call, but I believe there was a preamble prior to the question. So the question is stated, but the preamble is not. But I'll have a chat with Helen and clarify that, Councillor.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other comments, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. Unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Declarations of interest. Any declarations of interest, General Manager?
There is, Mr. Mayor. So, here today, we have declaration of interest from the Deputy Mayor for the open item governance appointment of special committee membership. We have three declarations of interest closed.
You just died.
Hopefully not really.
Thank you. One from Councillor Kelly for tender assistance on bridge projects, and one from Councillor Loder, close item Australia Day Awards, and one from Councillor Duncan, the same item Australia Day Awards.
Thank you, Jan. Moving on to Mayor and Councillor reports. So the workshop, Council workshop report is listed as of the workshop on the 28th of November. Nothing to add to that, councillors. Councillor Loder.
I'm going to the Carrick meeting this evening, so can you add me in, please?
Right. That'll be on the Mayor and Councillor reports.
Oopsies. That's right.
That's fine. Councillor acknowledgements and announcements are listed. Are there any others that are not listed in the agenda today, Councillor Sinfield? With your microphone, please, Councillor.
Just to clarify that the meeting tonight that councillors may be going to, and the public as well, is actually starting early at 7 o'clock, and it's not a normal committee meeting, it's a public meeting about fire safety, fire-related matters in the Carrick community. So it's followed by a light supper, I understand, and starting at 7 o'clock, not 7:30. And so, yes, I believe it's, you know, anyone's open to attend. and they'll have along the fire service SES, as I understand it, to discuss the upcoming and future fire seasons for Carrick and surrounds.
Thanks, Councillor. Can you note my apology at that meeting because I have a Deloraine Primary School Awards night tonight that I have to attend, so thank you. Anything else, councillors, to acknowledge, report on? That is no. Moving on, petitions?
No petitions, Mr. Mayor.
Community representations?
Another set today.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to public question time, which I'll open up. And for those of you that want to ask questions, I'll ask that you ask your question. You've got 3 minutes maximum, unless I allow to go a little bit longer, and I've been known to do that. But depending on how many questions we get, I'll ask you to stand up, tell us your name, and go for that. Bearing in mind that it's question time, it's not a debate. So, okay, first up, Robin, I see you had your hand up, so...
Good afternoon, Mayor Johnson, Councillors Jim and Council Staff. My questions refer to the Deloraine prison proposal as it's currently being prosecuted by the Liberal State Government and the Department of Justice Agency. Will the receipt of the draft social impact assessment and the formalisation of the many and numerous community changes identified by the consultant Fambry Planning, is the Council happy for Deloraine to become a prison town? Given the current activities of youth detention at the Ashley site, with the annual payment of rates from the state government to the Meander Valley Council to the sum of $13,834.73, what is the total sum of the rates and disbursements council is expecting to receive annually from a $289 million prison development? Mr. Mayor and others, please remember that the questions presented here in this place are from the neighbours and concerned community members, and I am but the messenger.
Thanks, Robert. Jim?
Thanks for the question, Mr. Badcock. I guess we'll take the questions on notice, and I'll have to have a look at what, you know, the financial implication from your question may be, part two. And yes, we know that you're a representative of the group, and the Mayor and myself did meet with you around 6 weeks ago, so we are aware of that. Thanks for your question on notice today, Mr. Badcock.
Thanks, Robin. Other questions from the floor? I think, Karen, you'll just be Sean.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for having us along for question time. Given that the decision by Meander Valley Council to work with all levels of government to establish a Northern Correctional Centre, otherwise well known as the prison, at the Ashley site, began with a motion in 2017 by former councillor Ian McKenzie of the previous council, of which I believe there are now only two current councillors who supported the motion at that time. Will this council now, before it is too late, rescind the decision to support a prison in our municipality, or at least not have it at the Ashley site near Deloraine and Exton, due to the many concerns, fears and anxieties that this proposal has caused for the near neighbours and many others in the community, and advise the government that a more appropriate site, closer to a magistrate's court, be sought that is supported by the community and does not place a heavy burden on near neighbours, on housing, police, ambulance, hospital, medical and emergency services in our Deloraine community.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, Council has not rescinded that decision, and Council may choose to consider that in the future, but they currently have no plans to do so.
Can I just ask a supplementary question to that first question?
No, it'd be two.
Yeah, I'll allow
just
one.
About, just yep. For rescinding the
yep.
motion,
yep.
I understand that you don't have to formally rescind a motion. You can just create a new motion as a new council, and as a new council, you would only need a majority. You wouldn't need a two-thirds majority, as in rescinding a motion of the same council. Just thought
yep.
some of you may not be aware. Okay, number two, are you going to take that one on notice? Is that the plan?
Yep. Yes, there are different provisions in the Local Government Act and the meeting regulations that provide for different ways of us treating that if we wanted to consider it in the future.
Given the adverse findings of the social impact study and given the broad community concern, and especially from the near neighbours regarding the proposed location of the prison on the Ashley site, will council agree to conduct a ratepayer poll and a public meeting to help determine the support or otherwise of the prison, and not just continue with the previous council's decision to impose this development on our community?
Well, council hasn't formed a decision to do that, but we'll take your recommendation on board and council can consider that at a workshop. So we won't commit to that at this point in time, but we note your comment and your opinion there.
Thank you, Gerard. Anyone else? Sean, sorry, you were next. Yep.
Afternoon, everyone. I've got two questions. One is around NT ARC. Health issues related to climate change impact quite heavily on councils. They are, and they will be, more impacts of extreme heat on the very young and the elderly. Mould in houses after flooding events, increased breathing problems due to more frequent bushfires, and increased risk of injury to council staff if they have to attend more frequent climate change related disasters are some of our health issues that come to mind. Meander Valley Council is a member of the Northern Tasmanian Alliance Resilient Councils. Did any councillors or staff and or staff attend the recent NT-ARC workshops on Tasmanian councils and healthy resilient communities?
I didn't, Sean, so I can't speak for other councils. I actually don't know whether they did or they did not.
I didn't, Sean, but so I attended a RecFit meeting the following week, similar concepts.
So are you saying that no staff attended?
No. Emery?
So I would love to have gone, but it was during my paid work hours, so I did contact the organisers and give my apologies and receive the notes.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just asking again, no staff attended the first workshops of NTR?
Not that I'm aware of, Sean, no.
Excellent. Second question. 4 years ago, at the December 2019 Meander Valley Council meeting, Councillor Temple put forward a notice of motion, quote, "It is recommended that Council declare a climate emergency," end quote. It was voted down. Some of the comments from councillors at the time were, "This is another reaction. It's not climate change, it's mismanagement. The hysteria that comes with the words, I won't support the motion." Another one, "Councillor labelled the motion a distraction from council business. Debating this will do little for the people of the Meander Valley. It's just words." The third one, "The science may well be in, but the jury is out. Some even say that climate change is a hoax." Tellingly though, rather than make a statement followed by no action, let's focus on some strategic, sensible, projects. And a fourth quote supported that. So key actions, strategic, sensible and sustainable projects. Declaring a climate emergency means having a plan or having a set of defined strategic actions or projects. When will the Meander Council have a set of defined strategic actions to actively measure and reduce its own carbon footprint and help the Meander Valley community that it is supposed to represent mitigate theirs?
Yep. Thanks, Sean. Councils are reviewing the policy first quarter of next year. Also got a strategic plan coming into place. Since that statement was made, we also had the COVID emergency that came through as well. So while you may think that we're sitting on our hands, I assure you that we're not. And unfortunately, if we're not working fast enough, then my apologies for that.
I'll leave it with you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yep, Helen.
Thank you. The issue with the minutes this morning reinforces my question from last week. The answer to the verbatim real-time broadcasting of Meander Valley Council sessions was brought up at a workshop, I believe. What was the outcome of that?
So in the minutes, in our agenda today, we have a motion on the table, which has been put forward by Council Loader, where we are looking at live streaming Meander Valley Council meetings.
Thank you.
Can I add to that?
Yes, sure.
So the other thing is that the minutes aren't a verbatim recording script of the words of the meeting as well. So I guess I need to make that point.
Sorry, I didn't quite hear that, John.
Yep. The minutes, the council minutes of the meeting aren't a verbatim recording of the exact wording of every word that's spoken at council meetings. I just felt I needed to make that point of difference as well.
Well, just to answer that, I think the public expects it to be a verbatim recording. I mean, what's the point of having recordings if they don't record every word that's spoken?
So, see, I don't want this to be a debate, and I don't want to eat into your questions if you have another question, but that is why Council produce an audio recording and publish that to our website also.
Councillor Sinfield?
Oh, I just wanted to clarify is that the confusion now is that one was talking about the minutes, which are not verbatim, versus the audio recording, which hopefully is verbatim. Was that your confusion?
I understand that. And I know the answer to my second question last week, that council employees are protected in some small way from heating, but the council has a responsibility to the wider community. And my second question is, will the council investigate the possibility of providing publicly accessible cool areas for at-risk residents? Who are those? Over 65, frail elderly, and the very young.
Yep. We'll have to take the question on notice. Hopefully we already provide that with trees and so forth that we manage at the moment, Helen. But again, you're raising things that we'll have to take on notice, which will be added into a workshop when we discuss this. Thank you. Any other questions from the gallery? Yep.
Hi, I've just got a question in relation to the proposed legislation that's going to be coming before the Parliament next year to have development assessment panels assess some projects, and whether Council has a position on whether the Northern Regional Prison should be one such project that it might consider abdicating responsibility for assessing, if you like.
Yep, thanks for the question, Linda. No, we don't have a position. However, we did provide feedback specifically on the development assessment panel legislation that was formed at, I think it was our last council meeting or the one before. Sorry, I can't remember the exact meeting. But so no, we don't, specific to the point that you've raised, but we did on the legislation.
Thanks, John. And does council plan to actually come up with a view or lobby the state government in respect of that position?
Not at this point in time. We haven't formed a decision that that's an appropriate way forward, so no.
Thank you. Any other questions from the audience? No? Going once, twice? No? Okay, thank you. Moving on. So, can I just ask that those that asked questions today, can you please email a written copy of your minute, sorry, for our minutes, to the AGM at mvc.tas.gov.au by tomorrow morning, please. If you've got handwritten questions, can you use a clipboard outside and hand them into reception? Thank you. Moving on to councillor question time. There was no councillor questions with notice that we received. That's right. So are there any questions without notice from councillors? Councillor Teville.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just my usual question. regarding the proposed prison. Has there been any interaction since the last meeting?
I took a phone call from Michelle from Department of Justice on the morning before, I think it was, of the release of the social impact study to let us know that they were putting it out, and she said that she would be talking to the residents around the prison from there, and then it was forwarded to, or was made public. So that's all I've got, John. Sorry, and also I released a media statement on the social impact study that was produced as well. So two things from me, sorry. That was it. Anyone else? Nope. No other questions, no other comments? Nope. No other questions, councillors, without notice? Nope. So, reminder, John, send your question in via email. They'll be a pretty quick email for you to put through. That'll be good. Moving on. So, planning matters. Council acts as a planning authority under Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. And there is a list of the following applies for all planning authority reports. And there's a great list of strategy, policy, legislation, consultation, budget and finance, risk management. And I should turn my mic on. That's better. And so forth. So we're up to planning authority item, which is 350 to 364 Westbury Road, Prospect Vale. Do we have Gary O'Keefe? That's it. Thank you, Gary. You've come forward. You've got 3 minutes with the microphone to address councillors.
May I say we're in planning mode?
Put it.
Read the rest of the page.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Mayor and councillors. It's great to be along here. Now, I guess the first thing I'd like to say is it's impressive that we get over 100 pages actually in reply to our comments. It was rather interesting. I certainly can't reply to all those comments that were raised in their reply. I'd just like to say a few points. Most points are that some of the people replying certainly, I think, have a very good understanding of the Act and of building codes, but they have perhaps a little understanding of some of the local issues that are presented and seem to be facing the local residents. And by the way, my name is Gary O'Keefe and I live at 9 Newton Avenue, which basically backs onto the complex where the loading bay is, etc. Does it affect the amenity of the people? Bet it does. But, you know, that's normal in all processes, and everybody has their own amenity issues with other residents living on site as well as a complex like this. I think in the differences that we have at this one is basically things like trucks with freezers pumped up to maximum, try and get the temperature down on hot days so that they can make sure that it matches the temperature for taking the frozen products in. The alarms that go off up to 5 times a night sometimes, they're all triggered by internal staff that miss the point of the trip on some of the doors, and they have to go around various doors to get through to the alarm system to turn on. Those things we put up with. What do I do to manage that, or what do we do to manage that? I've changed all the glass to double glazing, we've put heavy curtains into the lights, and so the alternative is leave or suck it up. And they're all normal things too. And I understand that, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that there are some things that probably should be looked at. Those things looking at, like traffic, people come through the complex just to drive through from Jardine Street through to the complex and drive out the other end into Westbury Road, because that's the shortest way through, because often the avenue is jammed with traffic turning right into Westbury Road and they can't get out there, so they come through the complex. Certainly trucks also come through. The fence, I know Karen and John and Zonzik were probably a bit despondent from, I guess, the detailed response, and so they certainly didn't come on to that, I think, partly because of the issues that was resulted. Parking, I'm not sure why the parking would be covered well and truly when at Christmas time or peak times the staff are asked to move their vehicles out into the street so that they can have enough parking. Intersection site distance, it's interesting to note that the report from Peter Sherrod, which was commissioned by the council, indicated that traffic calming should be put in on the Jardine Crescent Bibby Avenue intersection because of the closeness that the exit point actually does have. Certainly, I think that the speed limits on this corner is not relevant in regard to just 25 kilometres an hour. Certainly going around the corner, that's relevant, but when you're going up the street, it isn't. There is only a footpath on one side of the street, it's on the eastern side, and therefore people have to come down Bindindi Avenue and then cross over in Bindindi Avenue to go across the other side. So they do need to cross over where traffic's probably going at the 85 percentile factor, which is one of the recorded mechanisms, and I think it's probably around about 43 or 44 kilometres an hour. The other thing is the back entry. I noticed that there was a comment about the back entry was not the appropriate point for the pedestrians to go into the complex. It's 300 metres to go around that building to get into the front entry from that back point. Suspect that the elderly people with walking sticks or people with wheelchairs would find that difficult, especially when they pass the southern entry, which is only 200 metres. So, but that would be seemed logical to be able to do. The response, I guess, got a little bit low. They made a comment about what I think was rat run of pedestrians through the complex. I take it that meant that those people that were going to other locations apart from the complex were classed as rat runners.
You're at 4.5 minutes, Gary, on a 3-minute speech.
I'll just finish up by saying that, look, I respect the council. I respect the council staff, and I respect the role you do, and I don't really have any problems with that, and certainly the consultants. I know I've met Dino on a number of occasions, and he's been very helpful. George has been a great person to work with in the past too, with other things that are now family members. I guess what I want to say is that the councillors are the conscience of the council, not necessarily whether they cover the issues that are the tick boxes. But I guess it's over to you that these issues are covered strategically and whether this process is valid under the process.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you. Okay, councillors, so I've moved and a seconder for the item. Councillor Cameron has a mover. Seconder, councillors. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Cameron has a mover the item.
Thanks, Mayor, and thanks, Mr O'Keefe, for coming along and speaking and for your representation. Look, I find planning pretty tricky on occasions too, because it's pretty black and white and there isn't a lot of emotion in it. And I read the rat race comment too and thought, interesting way to put it. Because particularly if you're affected by it, you might find offence in that. So I guess I do apologise for some of the terms, black and white, sometimes planning life. And in saying that, it is tricky to make these decisions unconscious. We need to abide by the planning laws, and I do appreciate a lot of work has gone into this by our planner, George, and it is something I will support based on the requirements, but that's not to say we don't understand the issues that you have. So you talk about in your representation about a whole of area approach, and it is something that we do need to address, so thank you for bringing that back to our attention.
Councillor Dudman has seconded the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think I can add anything further to what the Deputy Mayor has said. I too appreciate your representation and the issues that you've raised. It is a black and white area that we work in, and I will be supporting the application, importantly because there are no sound grounds to reject it, in my opinion. But as the Deputy Mayor said, that doesn't mean that we're disregarding your views and your position. It's just unfortunate that we're the ones that have been... well, actually, I'm not going to say that. That would be bit of a faux pas. I'm quite happy to be making decisions at this table, but it is always unfortunate that you know you can't please everyone with these applications.
Councillor, open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Loader.
Thank you very much for your representation and thank you to the planners. In regard to the boundary fence, I know it's not part of the consideration, but it would seem like Woolies could be a nice neighbour and look after them and put in a fence. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but I know we can't put in a note and I know we can't consider it, but if I was Woolies, I'd be wanting to put up a nice fence for the neighbours to look after the neighbours and keep them happy. I know we can't consider it, but that's my thoughts.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other council discussion? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Mr O'Keefe made a number of points, not actually pertaining to this, but pertaining to the general amenity of the area. And I'm wondering if, outside this, if we could look at a community meeting locally to see what things could be done with, because traffic is building up, things are developing in the area, to see what we could do for the community.
General Manager.
I'll probably stop short of committing to a community meeting, Councillor Temple, but what I will say is that the comments from Mr O'Keefe around vehicle traffic and pedestrian movement on the roads being Bimbimbi and Jardine, as a council, will certainly monitor and consider any improvements that we need to make around those roads over time. So that's not within the property, the application property's boundary, but outside of that, the council may need to play a role in infrastructure. So we'll continue to monitor that side of the road work.
Thanks, Jim. Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, a couple of questions. First one is probably to the Director of Infrastructure and Director of Works. It's my recollection that back at the time of the, and I'm probably the only councillor here that was here in 2014 when some alterations to Prospect Vale Marketplace were undertaken in terms of the additional access or egress, I should say, off onto Jardine Crescent. My recollection was, and there was a comment from the proponent about having a traffic island on the corner of Bimbimbi and Jardine, and I think we or staff rejected that partially on the grounds that things like buses couldn't get round the corner, and we actually had to, you know, buy some yellow paint and remove some of the parking spots that were closer to the corner, is my recollection. So just wondering if we could get a comment from the one or other or both directors on that side of it first.
There may not have been any then, Rod, Councillor
Sinfield. Well, they're very close to
it. Anybody, director, want to make a comment on that? Lena?
Yes, through you, Mr Mayor. Look, I don't recall the specific details of the treatment we applied in Jardine Crescent and Bimbimbi. There's been a number of projects that Council's considered over the years to improve traffic flow on Westbury Road and also surrounding road network. If it's of value to Council, I can sit down with the GM and perhaps provide some commentary to the GM that he can then bring forward to a future Council workshop in terms of some of the traffic issues locally in that area that Council then can consider as part of forward planning for improvements and priority.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Dan. Sounds like a plan. Thank you. Anything supplementary?
Yeah. I noticed the no entry sign doesn't, I wouldn't have thought it was very effectively doing its job in preventing traffic from entering the site off Jardine Crescent. It seems to be at a right angle to where the face of the two signs, got no entry on one side and light vehicles on the other, but it seems to be at a right angle to the direction that one would see it. And so if, and there are, on a regular basis, people who do access the site off Jardine, and they shouldn't be. Maybe this development will actually discourage that by people trying to back in and leave the direct to boot area. might mean that they can't get through anyway. But for me, I notice, I think that is a problem. And my actual question to consultant planner is about what's the necessity for illuminated signage on the Jardine Crescent side of the building, given that you can't access the site from that side. It was a bit, I found a little bit confusing as to whether people on foot or on a bicycle were actually going to pull up to the director boot area and be given their groceries, or whether they went round and in the front. And so if there are director boot cars which can't access off Jardine, as I said earlier, why would you need to, if you like, irritate the neighbours in Jardine by the installation of an illuminated sign? The other thing is, I think it seems to be implying that the sign, the illumination of the sign, does two things. Illuminates the sign, but it also sheds light in underneath the structure itself, where the cars are parked. I'm not quite sure on that, because elsewhere in the document it says there's plenty of street lighting around already that lights up the street in general. So if you can't access the site from Jardine Crescent by way of a vehicle, and it's only locals in the surrounding area of Jardine, they surely know where the director boot area will be once it's there. Why would you be telling them this is a director boot area when, as I say, you can't access it off that street? So it's only a very minor point, but if we're trying to not just allow the developer to do what they want to do, but to interact in a meaningful way with their neighbours, I would think it's one issue that we might consider developing, or having the developer develop in a different way.
Thanks, Councillor. Any response to that, Krista, George?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So to understand the question, Councillor Sinfield, it'll be those?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. So they're the on the image on page 84 of the agenda. It's the signage that's on the fascia of the awning, which will face Jardine Crescent. So the question, as I understand it, was primarily around the necessity of the signage. Strictly from a planning perspective, we need to consider what's been applied for, why it's been applied for, or the necessity of or its purpose and intent, the things that we need to put aside when we make an impartial planning assessment. So I couldn't speculate as to why they require it there. What I've needed to do is to assess the performance criteria to ensure that it satisfies a particular standard. There is consideration of purpose, and the observations, whilst I tend to agree that Jardine Crescent is more of a local street, its purpose there is that it's a fascia that adjoins a frontage, and therefore will provide some wayfinding for the direct boot activity. So that would be my summation of the necessity. In terms of the lighting itself, it's only the extended lights that come out of the fascia, point back into the fascia to light the sign. It will provide some broader illumination below the canopy. There's also under-ceiling canopy lighting as well. In terms of compliance with the performance criteria, particularly the streetscape, Jardine Crescent is slightly lit by lights, and there's also some other lighting around. So in terms of its illumination, it shouldn't be overly foreign, but we've also applied a condition requiring it to be turned off between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. I believe, to minimise its impact, obviously, during nighttime. And then there's also another condition around it satisfying the Australian standard, which talks to baffling and those other ways to minimise light escaping, particularly in going directly onto other properties. So I hope that answers some of your questions.
Thanks, George. Open up councillors' questions, comments. Yeah. From my point of view, Mr. O'Keefe, thank you for giving up the time to come along and address the council today. I appreciate it. As Councillor Dudman and Councillor Cameron said, we are pretty black and white on planning schemes, so I will be supporting the motion as it's put at the moment. Any other discussion, councillors? If not, back to the second of the motion. Councillor Dudman, nothing to add. Councillor Cameron, anything to add? Nope. Okay. I'll put the motion, councillors, all those in favour, say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, Mr. Keefe. Too many pages. What's next one?
Next one, 41.
Oh, I've got
138.
So the next planning item is 19 Wheatower Road. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Kelly is the mover. Councillor Dudman is the seconder. Councillor Kelly.
No, I wouldn't have
been Thank you. Councillor Dudman.
I've got that trouble, Councillor.
It's on now, Councillor. Yeah.
No, I've got nothing of substance to add either. Just noting that the two representations aren't really representations against the proposal. So there's really a rather uncontentious application.
Thanks, Councillor Dunbar. Open up for discussion, councillors. No, nothing to add. Krista, for the sake of those that are listening online as to why we have this actually in front of us as a planning item, can you explain the rationale, if I can ask?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This has come to council because there are two representations received and there's no delegation from the planning authority to approve or determine an application that has more than one representation. So it needed to come to a council meeting, even though the representations are actually not objections to the development.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Right, anything to add, councillors? If not, put the motion. Oh, sorry, I'll go back. Councillor Dudman, a seconder, anything to add? No. Councillor Kelly, anything to add?
No, it's pretty straightforward, shouldn't be in front of us.
Thank you. Well, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
That is unanimous. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to Councillor 172, notice of motion, live streaming of council meetings. Mover. Councillor Loader. And seconder?
Oh,
Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Loader, as the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. It is my pleasure to move this motion today. I do so because of strong community support for live streaming. While campaigning to become a councillor, I was asked by several community members to investigate this if I was elected. By moving this motion today, I am honouring those requests and my commitment to transparency. Not very long ago, I was listening to a Southern mayor speak on radio about a potentially controversial issue coming to a council meeting. He was able to invite the community to tune into their live stream of the meeting to view the decision-making process. Given that our municipality covers a large area, providing the community with the option to view the live stream will bring a greater level of accessibility to council meetings that hasn't been so far enjoyed. Yes, there is an audio option. However, nothing beats watching who is speaking. At the same time, live streaming will also provide a greater level of accountability for councillors to community. A similar motion was brought to the February 2019 ordinary meeting, but lapsed for want of a seconder. Since this attempt to bring Meander Valley into the world of live streaming, much has changed. Had the 2019 motion been carried, meetings held during the COVID lockdown years would have enabled a greater level of transparency and inclusion for the Meander Valley community. A simple Google search will reveal that live streaming of council meetings isn't new. I believe it's time for Meander Valley to catch up.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor House is a second of the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I don't have a lot to add to that. I mean, the key words are, I think, were COVID. COVID changed the way I think we access information. I'm a trainer. I use Zoom a lot of the time. I'm providing it or receiving it. That's how people get their information these days. And there's another discussion today, I think, about meeting times. And, there's no such thing as a meeting time that suits everyone. From what I can see, whether it's during the day or whether it's during the evening or whatever, there are people that are needing to work and so forth. So I support the idea of live streaming. I think it's time that we got on board with it.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Kelly, just.
Yeah, look, I do apologise for not being at the workshop when this was discussed. However, I've had the long-term standing view of until we have parliamentary privilege, I think we have to be very careful what goes out to the general public.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Dubbin.
Thank you, Mayor, and I want to thank Councillor Loader for bringing this motion forward as well. It's about accountability, it's about transparency, and it's about bringing this council chambers into the 21st century right across Tasmania and indeed Australia. We're able to tune in to council meetings to see what's being discussed and debated in real time, and I don't see an issue with that occurring here. Actually, it's my preference. I do not say anything at this table, as colourful as I can be, that I wouldn't be hesitant to repeat in public, in a witness box or anywhere else. So I have no issue with members of the public being able to see me as I speak on issues that are affecting them in the local community. I don't need parliamentary privilege in this role. I'm quite happy to make my comments and stand by them. And I would encourage all councillors to have the courage to jump in the spotlight, vote for this, and make sure that we are being accountable, transparent and representative of our community.
Thanks, Councillor Dunman. Open up for discussion. Councillor Cameron.
Thanks, Mayor. And I was here at council, it was one of our very first meetings as a new council back in 2019, when former Councillor Connor's motion didn't receive a seconder. And as Councillor House said, COVID, the world's moved on. The reason that I wasn't happy to endorse it back then was the cost. It was, you know, a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars to this council to live stream something that, in my opinion, wasn't going to be watched a great deal. I still don't think it'll be watched a great deal, but very happy if people want to watch it. I don't particularly want to listen to my voice ever again. But my question, I think, probably to the general manager on this is, what happens to people in the gallery and the staff? Like, as councillors, you can film me if you want to. I'm not worried. But will we have to notify people that when they come into this chamber that they'll be on a recording?
So the second part of Councillor Loader's recommendation is around creation of a policy. I think the policy that we would create, if that's supported by council, will provide for that, and it would have to be clearly stated in our meeting agenda and potentially upon entrance that would be occurring. Mm-hmm. If members of the public would choose to be in the gallery for the meetings. So I would expect that, if supported, that the policy would provide for that.
Thank you, General Manager. Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Any other councillor comments? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. From what was said earlier, what part of the chambers will be visible to the public?
Councillor Temple, I did provide a comment in the agenda, and that was to the extent that, from a financial perspective, there would not be expected to be a substantial cost to council if our existing infrastructure, as in camera and recording equipment, is utilised. So that would be the way that you may have zoomed into council meetings during the COVID period. So I guess it is of an expectation that it's not camera quality set up from a professional recording equipment perspective, but it would certainly achieve the objective, I believe, of what Council Loader is recommending to you today. So the camera positioning being in this corner and that being a limited facial, I guess, availability of all those around the table, it's not a consistent manner. Does that answer your question?
Well, yes and no. So you, my understanding, it would go from you as a general manager around to approximately Councillor Dudman, or maybe just as far as Councillor Kelly.
No, that's not correct. The entire room will be visible. It's just that some will be more visible than others.
So just to follow on, one of the main reasons why this didn't go ahead in 2019 was the cost of...
that was my reason for not.
So, you know, are we opening ourselves up to for future cost with this, because to make it work properly?
Councillor Temple, I believe that live streaming is going to be very inexpensive process for us. We would have to look into it further if there's going to be recording and managing of recorded audio and visual capability, because it has quite a large file size, and we would need to manage that in accordance with the Archives Act as well. So that aspect we would need to discuss further in the development of the policy at a council workshop.
Councillor Sinfield.
Thank you. The recommendation is that live streaming will come off the back of the adoption of a new council meeting policy. Back in 2020, when COVID, there were special rules in place which allowed councillors to attend remotely. Will that policy take that into account? The government rescinded that ability to attend remotely after the emergency had been over for a year or whatever it was. But should that happen, will the policy have something in place to deal with the scenario where that might occur again, or will we simply say, okay, three people are here in person and six are attending remotely, in which case presumably we won't have the structure in place to handle that scenario? So are we just going to sort of suck it and see, and should a COVID type event occur in the future, then we'll deal with it then, or will the policy be robust enough to take that into account?
Well, perhaps Councillor Loader would like to contribute, but her recommendation is currently that a council meeting policy be developed in conjunction with council. So that'll, I guess, the contents and the scope of that policy be a future decision of council. So you'll certainly be invited to contribute to the formation of that if the recommendation is successful, Councillor.
Any other comments, Councillors? From my point of view, yes, I sat here at the council meeting, and the cost, the figures that were thrown about at the time were tens of thousands of dollars. We didn't see that it was cost efficient to do that at the time, but as we've just stated here before, COVID came along, Zoom, Teams, all the other ones, have brought us into a different era, and I'm happy to support the motion as it sits. So. Well, no other comments, councillors? Councillor Sinfield?
Maybe make one comment. I was unwell at one meeting and attended one of the meetings via watching it over the camera, and I would concur that it's probably going to be a fairly ordinary viewing experience, in the fact that if somebody up that end of the table happens to stand up or whatever, your view of everyone else is quite restricted. So it, not spending a lot of money will probably not make it the most wonderful of experiences, but happy to support it anyway.
Thank you. Councillor Kelly.
Just a question to the General Manager. It's okay, I guess, for us councillors to vote on this. Has there been a conversation with the staff members to see whether the staff members are happy being live streamed?
Only those staff members that were present at the council workshop when it was discussed, which I believe was the last workshop. So there's certainly a limited amount of employees that have been involved to date, councillor.
Okay, anything else, councillors? If not, I'll go back to the second of the motion, Councillor House. Nothing, Councillor Lauder, is the move of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. If you listen to the audio as it stands at the moment, you can definitely hear what's going on, but it's also punctuated with a lot of ripping of chocolate wrappers, chairs squeaking. If you are watching and listening to something, you're using two senses, therefore people who are viewing the meeting are more likely to be able to take in things that are going on. I stand by my first comment that I just think we're behind the times for not doing it. As far as parliamentary privilege goes, thank you, Councillor Dudman. I don't say anything that I wouldn't be happy to have recorded right now in this meeting. I think integrity should be what holds us up in everything we do as a councillor. And part of the motion, as the General Manager said, is developing a policy. We shouldn't do anything without a policy that wraps everything around what we want to achieve by any action of council. So I see this as a first step. Maybe that camera isn't as good as we want it to be, but I think it's a first step, and I hope that people will, that my fellow councillors will support it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Loder. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Those against? So it is Johnson, Cameron, Dudman, Sinfield, Temple, Loder, House was for it, and Councillor Kelly against. Thank you. Moving on to Development Review Services Review, policy number 90, page 175. Paperwork. Right, I'm still doing my paperwork, so just bear with me for a little minute. Right. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Kelly, thank you. Seconder, please. Mr. Dudman, thank you. Councillor Kelly.
I think it's pretty straightforward. Let's open it up for discussion.
Thank you. Councillor Dudman.
Look, I think I'll concur. It is fairly straightforward. It is great to see in Westbury, Deloraine and its surrounds the growing mobile food outlet community. I'm seeing more and more people down at the Village Green getting together during the week to share a meal from these vehicles. So more than happy to support the review of the policy to update it and ensure it's as good as it can be.
Thank you, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Sinfield.
Yeah, probably it's not, wouldn't be my choice. The replacement of the words in 4.1, I would have just left it where it was, because they are the guidelines to give effect to the policy as opposed to being available with the policy. That sort of implies that sometimes you might do something with it without the guidelines, I suppose, but it's just language. I thought it was neater and more succinct the way it was. Apart from that, no dramas at all.
Thank you, Councillor. Anything else, councillors? Councillor
Just Dudman. Wondering if the Director has a response to that comment.
At the time this policy was originally came to council, the guidelines hadn't been created, and hence the wording. Those guidelines have since been created, and the change.
But all I was saying was guidelines give effect to this policy. Be succinct. That's fine.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One of the changes is that it's from council-owned or managed property or roads. What happens if it's a state growth-owned road within our municipality?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, then they need to get approval from state growth.
Yep, right answer.
So do the ones that are operating on state growth roads have that at the moment, or is it a grey area?
Ask that girl.
Well, I'm going to ask them next time.
Yeah. Good. Unless we're told about it, we don't know, John, is the simple answer, isn't it? Dina, you want to edge forward, Dina.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. There's one instance of a vehicle operating a business on State Growth Road, however it's within township, so it's within an area the council maintains in terms of parking areas and footpaths and that sort of thing. In that instance, the general manager has delegation under the Traffic Act from memory to approve vending in a road in that situation, and if there was someone wanting to sell food on a state road but it was within that space that we would maintain in terms of parking areas and footpaths, so we can cast an eye over safety aspects, we would then look at that on a case-by-case situation.
Yeah. Just to contribute, so that's correct. In some of the townships within Meander Valley, council has put in place infrastructure associated with the same road that we would be responsible for, councillor, that which is provides a wider benefit to the community other than just vehicle traffic through the running strip.
Vacate the chair, Jim.
Who moved it? Thanks. Any other comments on this motion before I go back to the mover and seconder? Councillor Dubman? Councillor Kelly? Okay, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Unanimous. Motion's carried. Thank you. So, infrastructure services review of budget estimates 2023-2024. I hope that people have got really hard questions that they know. So, looking for a mover and a seconder of the motion. Any takers? It's Councillor Dudman. A seconder? Thanks, Councillor House. As the mover, Councillor Dudman, do you have any comments?
No, I think it's fairly straightforward. I'm happy to be taken as read.
Thank you, Councillor House.
Yes, likewise, Deputy Mayor. It's good to see also that this will give the opportunity for the works at Carrick Recreation Ground to be pursued. I know there's something that the locals are really hanging out for, so this motion goes the way towards that.
Thank you. Just open it up for discussion. Is there any other comments from around the table? No. Okay, I just did want to note before the Mayor left the hot seat and left me here, I did mark on there as well that I was really pleased to see about the upgrades to the Carrick Recreation Playground and toilets. I think Dino knows that I've been pretty keen on that, so thank you. That's a very lovely parting gift you've given us, and also very keen for the Meander Valley branding project, so thank you to those who've worked on that. So if there's no other comments, Councillor House?
Nothing more.
Councillor Dubman? Put it to the vote then. All those in favour say aye and raise your hands. Yeah, unanimous again. Thank you. I think John saw that. That motion's passed. Thank you. Thanks, Dino. One of my favourite topics, infrastructure services. Are you come back, Matt.
You're going to move.
You can't leave yet, Dino. We want to talk about swimming pools. So, infrastructure service, receipt of review of council swimming pools and natural swimming sites. Thanks, Director Dino. Is there anyone that would like to move that? Did you have a hand up the whole time? I'll go Councillor Kelly and Councillor Loader as a seconder. Thank you. Councillor Kelly, as a mover of the motion, would you like to make some comments?
I've got no comments at this stage.
You were so eager. Councillor Loader as the seconder.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I am pretty excited about this report. I was quite nervous when I knew that it was happening because I was concerned that we might not hear what the community wants to hear. I think the 13 recommendations are good, doable, but I'd really like to compliment Leisure Management Excellence on the way that they conducted the community consultation. I went to every single one of them, and John, wasn't it? John gave everybody the opportunity to have a say, and it was quite emotive at times, but he was very kind and caring, and so yes, I'm pleased that he was nice and that he said nice things in his report that that can be done to make sure our pools and our natural waterways and swimming holes are safe.
Thanks, Councillor Loader. Any other comments from the table? Councillor Simfield, then Councillor House.
Wondered if a bit of, for the audio, a bit of flesh could be put on the bones of the recommendation, which is simply to receive the report. The Director of Infrastructure Services has got a report attached restating the 13 grounds, but we will have some community members who will be very interested in this, and so you could argue, I don't believe that will be the case, but at a minimalist level, if you just read that, we've received the report and said thanks very much, see you later. So I just think it would be good to
add explanation of what it means.
To say where to from here, if you like.
I'll take that.
Yep. I'll just have a quick comment and then perhaps Dino, Director Infrastructure, will elaborate. But I see it as being two main sort of concepts in the reports, and that is what Council would like to invest in our pool infrastructure to make it more relatable to the community going forward. So there would potentially be a series of capital works projects in future years on the back of these reports to improve the facilities on offer within the municipality, should council support those down the track. So the requirements of infrastructure investment are one aspect. The other for me is around risk management. And there are various ways of trying to mitigate the risks associated with both the natural swimming sites and those that public pools that we are providing. So the risk management is certainly a key theme that has come through also, but perhaps Dino has a comment.
Do you want to add, Director Dino?
Through you, Acting Chair. The General Manager stated, one of the key issues around this report is understanding what investment Council will need to make into the future. Around the Cave Side and Deloraine Pool, so that's been discussed with Council Workshop previously. The other, financial implication, not to lose sight of Council, is just the operational costs that need to be incurred each year, because a lot of the work that we need to do to bring these pools back into a better line of compliance with standards and that sort of thing is operational. So the financial aspect is something that officers will bring back to council prior to upcoming budget cycles for consideration, and there's a bit of work that the team will need to do to prioritise the work in that aspect of things. The risk management is critical, obviously, and officers will need to work with the Caveside Pool Committee as well. There's going to be obligations for them moving forward to make sure that we document practices that are actually happening out there, so we are both, again, meeting our obligations from an insurance perspective. The general manager, I guess, can discuss with council as well what information council would like to provide to the community, whether it's media or something, Facebook website, just to provide some feedback around the outcomes of this particular review, given the community was provided all those different sessions. So there's a few different aspects of the financial investment, management of our risks, and also how we communicate back to the community that contributed to close the loop on the project.
Thank you. Thanks, Councillor. Sorry about that.
Councillor House.
Councillor House. Comment?
Just a couple of quick ones. Again, thank you to Leisure Management Excellence. I think they did a great job. They were very consultative, and that was great. There's obviously, this is an issue that's caused some concern and a good deal of confusion for some time. So I don't think anyone could say it's not a highly detailed report. It's close on 200 pages. Got a lot of, I think it gives a lot of strategic approach for the short, the mid, and the longer term for maintaining and upgrading our pools going forward. So I'd like to thank them for the work that they've done.
Thanks, Councillor House. Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. Thanks for coming back. Look, Dino, I have banged on about Seminkles for a very long time, and I know that it's created a lot of work, and I really do want to thank you so much for everything that you and your team have done. It's massive. This is a massive report to read, but the workload that we're now passing on to your team is huge, and the community really appreciates it, and I can't thank you enough for helping us work through this. As Councillor Lowe said, the consultant that came did a really good job, and the feedback I've had from the community has been really positive. They felt listened to, and that was our main priority. So I expect that you will visit the Meander Valley often and that you will appreciate the wonderful swimming pools. Do not jump in the pool, by the way. They're not tall enough for you. But I really do appreciate everything that you and your team have done, and I can't thank you enough. So thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Open up for discussion anymore, councillors? Take that as no. Back to Councillor Oda as the second of the motion.
Nothing further to
no. Councillor Kelly is the mover of the motion.
Yeah, look, there's been a lot said about this. I've actually been passionate about this for a lot longer than Councillor Cameron, because our swimming pools have been...
Is that because you're older?
Oh, yes.
Okay, darling.
And it's our swimming pools have been problematic and have been for a long time, and this is actually giving us something to work with. So, yes, well done, Dino, and your team.
Yeah. All right, councillors, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous, councillors. Thank you. Next item is governance council meeting dates 2024 on page 383. We have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Dudman, thank you. Seconder, Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover. No, Councillor House is the seconder.
No, it's all been previously discussed. I think those times, there'll never be a perfect time for everyone, but they all seem to be appropriate.
Thanks. Open up for discussion, councillors.
I can make a comment.
Councillor Cameron.
I think I make this comment quite often when we get to this point in the year. And I agree, 3 o'clock on Tuesday might not necessarily be a really great time for everybody. We can't really take into account, we don't know who's going to come, and we can't really take into account every individual. So my main priority is to always set a meeting time at a time that is accessible to as many people as I can think of, including prioritising the staff and their wellbeing. So very happy to support those times.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. I agree. From my point of view, we are paid to turn up to represent the community. We look at this every year. If it was held at a night time, I would do a full day's work and then come along and sit in the council meeting. If it was night time, we would have to think about overtime for staff. And I think if people are passionate about something that is affecting them as far as council decision goes, they will turn up regardless. And if we now live stream, there may be more accessible for people to actually look at our council meeting. So I'm happy to support the dates and times as it stands. I'm up for any other discussion, councillors. Take that as a no. Councillor House, so second or anything, Dave?
All good.
Councillor Dudman, nope. All right, put the motion in. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is Johnston, Cameron, Kelly, Dudman, Sinfield, Loader, House against. Councillor Temple is against. Thank you. Moving on to Councillor Governance, Council Representation Committee. Yep, page 389 on my paperwork. We'd like to move, somebody like to second it. Oh, Councillor Dudman by a hand from Councillor Kelly. Councillor Dudman.
Thank you, Mayor. Nothing great to add. Very happy to return to the audit panel, where all the excitement is, and also the Great Western Tiers Tourism Association.
Very good. Councillor Kelly.
I just acknowledge all the great work that people do, so yeah, nothing more to add.
Righto. Councillor Loder.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm really happy to continue in the positions as stated in the agenda. I would just like to note that the Homelessness Advisory Committee has been really difficult to get to because it's on Tuesdays when we have council meeting, so or a workshop. So I do try to get along, but I think Ben, as proxy, we do receive the notes and have input that way. So we've tried to get the meeting date to be reviewed.
Yes. Thank you, Councillor. Anything else to add, councillors? Okay. Anything from the seconder and the mover?
No.
They're still communicating.
I think I've
Flick it on page. You're happy though,
aren't you? Oh, yes.
Right, no, exactly. No, okay. No, put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye. And against? You're an aye, John? Yes. Yeah, okay, unanimous, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is the appointment of members to special committees of council, which Councillor Cameron has already put in a declaration of interest and has left the building. No, sorry, she's left the room.
Yeah.
So that was Elvis that did that, wasn't it? Okay, somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Loder is off first. Councillor House, thank you. Ms. Loder.
Just to say thank you to all the people who are willing to keep our community committees going. It's not an easy thing to do, to find the time to be involved in these things. So thank you to all of them.
Thank you, Councillor House.
Indeed, following on from that, I did a quick numbers check on all those names were there. It's close to 200 people that are volunteering through those various organisations. I guess 13 hall committees, a couple of volunteer car ones as well. Plus some 200 people that are volunteering, and of course there's a lot of people that assist them as well. So I think that's another really strong example of the volunteering spirit in this municipality, and I commend them.
Thanks, Councillor. House, open up for discussion, councillors. Councillor Sinfield is reaching for the mic.
Tony Cheek, could we remove one name from the Chadley Memorial Hall Committee?
That depends. Councillor Cameron's out of the building. He shouldn't do it while she's out of the building. Who's that, Councillor Sinfield? Oh, yes, okay. Yeah. Well, in fairness, these documents were probably produced before somebody has passed away.
Oh,
we should acknowledge.
I wasn't talking about anyone passing away. It was just the aforementioned person who might have left the building.
Well, I should actually acknowledge the work of Wayne Richardson and all the time and effort that he did with the Chudley community, and sadly passed away not that long ago.
Pick that one.
So, right, anything else, councillors? Councillor Kelly.
When I first got on the council, which was going back a while ago now, the prior hall committees were going through a bit of carnage. They'd sort of got run down in bits and pieces. And since that time, which would be about 2005, I think, they've had a real resurgence, and you know, you see the halls improved, painted, kitchens done up, a lot more activity happening in these little country halls, and I think it's fabulous.
Totally agree, absolutely.
Councillor, I do actually have a serious question. I forgot, and I meant to ask the Committee Chair David Williams. The Carrick Community Committee has had a couple of recent appointments, but they're not on the list here. Can they, is it going to sit like this until 12 months' time, or is there an avenue to actually get them put on? And it is remiss of me because, as I say, I thought of it the other day, clean forgot about it again. They've now got a secretary, for example, new person, and one or two others possibly as well. So what's the methodology for changing this midstream, I guess?
I guess firstly, Councillor, I'm really glad to hear that they got some more members. It was probably a bit surprising to see the low number that we received from their annual general meeting. So that's what is being received by Council here today. There's another provision for them to be able to add members throughout the year post their AGM. So that's provided for, and as long as they provide the information back to Council on those appointments, that'll be well received.
Very good. Wrapping up, Councillor House, anything to add? Councillor Loader is the mover. No, all right, put the motion, all that in favour, please say aye. That is unanimous, councillors. Thank you. You rushing it, Steph, or what are you doing?
Yeah,
time. Oh, okay. Okay, very good. Councillor Cameron as well. Next one is governance online communication. Somebody like to move? Someone, Councillor Dudman, thank you. Second out. Councillor House, thank you. Councillor Dudman, nothing to add. Councillor House.
Self-explanatory. I think I'm particularly pleased to see clause 4E going into some detail about things like mischievous complaints, unlawful or inciting others to break the law, those types of things. There can be a little bit of weaponising sometimes of social media, so I think they're really good protections for staff.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Take it as read. Happy. Yep, I endorse Councillor House's comments as well. It's the world we live in, unfortunately, at the moment. Put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye. That's unanimous, councillors, thank you. Review of policy number 86, industrial development incentive. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second, Councillor Dudman. Councillor House, you didn't, you did. I thought you scratched your nose. We're in an auction bid. Any seconder for the motion? All right, Councillor Loader scratched your chin.
No, I'm
happy to
accept. I'll buy it.
Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman, nope, Councillor Cameron, as a seconder. Right, he's flipping them through.
Look, the Meander Valley is the best place to do business, so anything we can do to bring those businesses to our municipality, I'm happy to support.
Very good. Anything to add, councillors? Right up. Put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hands. Against? That's carried unanimous. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
He's in favour.
I told him.
Yeah. Moving on to governance, acting general manager arrangements. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Dudman, you're back. Got a record at the moment.
Oh, no. Councillor Loader beat me.
Oh, Councillor Loader, she did. Councillor Dudman.
Oh, look, I will comment on this one. Just to say that it is so wonderful that we have such a talented range of directors who can step up if need be and fill the role of acting general manager if something untoward did happen to Mr. Harmy, which we all.
Wow.
You're the driveway
shield. Councillor Dudman, it says acting, it doesn't say permanent.
Oh. No withdrawal, Master.
Councillor Loader is second on the motion.
I concur with Councillor Dudman's comments.
Thank you. Discussion, councillors, comments?
Don't think we should say any more.
Everyone happy? Righto. Thank you, General Manager, for bringing that. Thank you to the directors that are happy to put their hands up to continue on. So, put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hands. That is unanimous, thank you. Governance, management of Deloraine Caravan Park, which is page 14. Oh, she was, hang on, I'm going to Councillor, hang on, I didn't ask for Councillor Cameron and Councillor Kelly, sorry.
I beat her.
Well, you
did beat me.
No, you're right.
Councillor Cameron, as the mover of the motion, with your microphone on, which I haven't had on.
Thank you. Look, I absolutely support the motion that's before us. And I do support that council decided to take this to an open and transparent tender process. That has been difficult for some, but I do think it was the best thing for the community to make sure that everybody had their opportunity, because that park is a magnificent place and we're really lucky to have it, and we're really proud of it. That's pretty evident with the amount of huge influx of correspondence that we had around that park. It's a pretty special place in our community. So no surprises, I wholeheartedly support it, and I would really like to extend my thank you to the other groups that expressed interest. A lot of work had gone into those applications, and I do really appreciate all the hard work that a lot of people have put into this. All I have to say at the moment.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Kelly.
Yeah, look, I agree with everything that Councillor Cameron has said. The one thing I would add is that I do apologise for the anxiety that the process had given those people of the Apex Club, who have done a tremendous job throughout the years of managing such a beautiful caravan park that's on the Australian map. The efforts that they put in through the flood periods, where there'd be an expectation the council would jump in to tow caravans and bits and pieces out. The practicality of the Apex Club is that they all just get in, get tractors and get the problems resolved without minimal disturbance to our staff. I won't add any more at this time because I think there may be some other discussions.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussions, councillors. Councillor Dudman, first off. Just speak to Councillor House.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I was quite happy to support the EOI process, and I stand by that decision of council. It is important that when we're dealing with public land, it is never just flagged for the use of one person, group, organisation, whatever it may be, indefinitely. I think in 2023, the public expect us to operate public land in a transparent and accountable way, and that's what this EOI process did afford. I do want to thank Apex, Deloraine House and the CMCA for providing their expressions of interest. It was greatly received and appreciated, and as well to all the community members who voiced their opinions on who should run the caravan park going forward. In particular, for me, it was a close run race between two of the applicants, and I will be supporting the recommendation. I appreciate the work that was put in, and I will commend Apex for the EOI that they made. I think it was professional and appropriate, and I look forward to working with them into the future as they manage the caravan park. So well done to them, and I'm happy to support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Dunman. Councillor House.
Mr Mayor, I speak in favour of the motion, and I seek your indulgence to perhaps speak a little longer than I normally would. I know you've got your gavel there, just to quiet me down if need be. So I speak in favour of the motion, and however, I would firstly like to thank and acknowledge what's already been said here, Deloraine House in particular, for expressing its interest, its professional approach and presentation, and also for the great work that it does within our community. I give three reasons for my support of Deloraine Apex. Firstly, the history of the park and its custodianship to date, and I'll speak more on that in a moment. Secondly, the strategic plan and vision for the future, which has been very well detailed in the expressions of interest document, as Councillor Dunman said, and looks to a strong and innovative future for the park. And thirdly, the level of community support for the club, which has been mentioned also, which has been received, whilst not surprising to me, is certainly an extremely compelling endorsement for Deloraine Apex continuing its role with the caravan park. Excuse me. All involved with the club, past and present, can justifiably take pride in that support. It has been hard earned. Back to a historical perspective and context, and I'm quoting directly here, if I may, from this book, The History of Apex in Tasmania. And it's got a section here on the Deloraine Apex Club. And just for a bit of historical context, maybe, the Apex Club of Deloraine was chartered under the sponsorship of Devonport Club in 1958. is a long time back, some 65 years. It goes on to say some of the things that they did back then, service work, included things like playground equipment, cleaning and clearing the area around a new swimming pool in those days, and it's interesting that we're now talking about it again, and laying lawns around the pool. It goes on to a number of other projects as well. I'm happy to leave that here for people to read. It said the first major project was the development of the site for the Apex train park below the train bridge, and of course we all know that one. It's well known and well loved. It then goes on to say a great deal of hard yakka was rewarded in December 1970 when the Apex Caravan Park was officially opened. 1970, Mr. Mayor. Since members first conceived the idea of a tourist park, building it to a point of its opening in 1970, continually managing, working on and expanding the park since that time to the wonderful and popular facilities so enjoyed today, it has been a journey. Who can say how many volunteer hours have gone into the park by Apexians, their families and so many others that have contributed alongside them in all that time? It's impossible to come up with a number. To say it is in the thousands of hours tends to underestimate it. How many thousands? Who knows? There's no records for that necessarily that I'm aware of, nor are there records of equipment that has been used, again, as to Councillor Dugman's point, Councillor Kelly's point. There's no records of voluntarily donated tractors, backhoes, trucks, and so on, in order to get the job done over the many years. And Mr. Mayor, I just want to make the point, that's what it's always been about for the Darra and Apex, getting the job done, not seeking publicity or reward beyond maybe a couple of beers at the end of a full day, usually Sundays or Saturdays, I might add, in the bitter cold or sometimes the full sun. I think we always felt that we earned that. You see, I'm a past member of the club also, my active service ending some 27 years ago. The confidence gained and lessons learned from Darra and Apex and my peers at the time were life-changing for me and so many others. So today I support Apex moving forward with management and ongoing development of the Caravan Tourist Park. And importantly, it's also, very importantly, it's also an opportunity for me to, as others have done, to say thank you to all Apexians and their families, past and present, on behalf of this community, the community that has served and continues to serve so well. I want to take this opportunity to give them a big shout out publicly, something that some would say is a little overdue. So in closing, Mr. Mayor, thank you for allowing me the time, Darra and Apex Club since 1958 has made an enormous contribution to the community. It has been the gift that has kept on giving for 65 years. Mr. Mayor, I support this motion and I wish the club ongoing success.
Thanks, Councillor House. I don't think I could have stopped you if I'd have wanted to. So thank you. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor House. I don't think we had a choice. We had to go to expression of interest because, as Councillor Dudman said, it is public land. I want to acknowledge the CMCA's expression of interest and thank them, but I also want to thank Deloraine House. And like Councillor Dudman, I really wrestled with the whole thing. Deloraine House has a wonderful reputation of looking after vulnerable people, caring for our community in ways that many groups don't. But having said that, the Apex Club received so much support from the community, and I want to note that the letters of support were from life members like Councillor House, Rotarians, community leaders. So if there are issues in the future, then our younger Apexians have got this amazing wealth of wisdom to go and get some help and mentoring if ever they're faced with some difficult questions in the future. So, lean on them. They're there. They obviously really support the Apex Club. So that's all I really want to say. I'm looking forward to seeing the plans that were outlined in the expression of interest come to fruition. Thanks.
Councillor Loader, open up to any other discussion, councillors? No. Councillor Sinfield?
Yeah, I concur with everything that's been said. There are a couple of issues which I'm sure will be resolved going forward. terms of A, the lease, B, some management issues which are indicated will be changing, improving going forward, and all power to Apex for what they've done in the past and will do in the future with that site. Great credit to them.
Yes, Councillor. I should also note that Councillor Dornoff, while being an apology for this meeting, had his own views and comments on the Deloraine Caravan Park, and he may well publish those or air those at a later date. So, but he obviously let us councillors know his thoughts, which is fine. From my point of view, as Councillor Cameron said earlier on, it certainly stirred things up a little bit. It was probably came a close second to the proposed Northern Prison when it hit our table. But what it did was generate, I guess, a rallying of the troops, I suppose, in the sense that there were people come out of the woodwork that wouldn't normally put a submission into council or send a letter or an email to council, councillors. And it just showed, I guess, and it was an eye-opener for myself to understand. I didn't know the history. I've not been in Apex, and I didn't understand, well, didn't know the history of the club and the caravan park. I just thought it was there forever and a day, so, which is good to understand that. Well, I think there's some learnings that come out of it for Apex and also for council, as to do with leases going forward and what we have done in the past and what we'll do in the future. To the two other applicants that put in an expression of interest, yes, it was a tough one to take on, and I agree with Councillor Loder, Deloraine House do a good job in the community as well, but this is the Deloraine Apex Caravan Park, and I'm happy to support it continuing as a Deloraine Apex Caravan Park. So, open up for any other discussion, councillors. If not, I'll go back to Councillor Kelly as the seconder of the motion.
Look, there's been some very positive conversation in relation to this. The one positive thing that I would like to add out of this, even though it's been a bit of a horror ride for the Apexians, is that a lot of people that were naive and unawares as to the work that they do, it's brought it out onto the table so people can actually have a greater appreciation for the work that they put in silently. So that is a positive that I'd be taking out of this from an Apex perspective. And I'll be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
Thanks, Councillor Kelly. And I agree absolutely, because that's a conversation we'd had. Apex do a lot for the community, but they don't tell the community that very often. And I got this email in the middle of the process, and I just would like to read you a parable, a sentence from it if I can, because I think for me it really summed up Apex and what they do for the community. So it says, hang on, they have contributed a lot, they have contributed to having a public image problem, but not, that's not, they haven't been advising the good, the work they do, sorry. But they have always been about young men learning, giving back to the community and doing a lot of great work to anybody or anyone in the community without ever asking for praise. And whilst they work full time and often have young families, and their volunteers often go on and volunteer at other community groups, which we see often actually, is look at Councillor House as a great example. Meander Valley needs groups like Apex that give young men a chance to learn and change for the better and become future leaders in the valley. And for me, that email really hit home and really summed up how I feel about Apex in our community. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, councillors. I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands.
Aye.
Against? Councillor Temple is against. Thank you. All right, motion to close the meeting. Councillor Dudman, Councillor Loder, thank you. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. It's unanimous, thank you. Meeting closed.